Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I got a classic guest on the line. I guess it's not that he's an old guest, because it was only, what, a year and a half ago or so that he was on for the first time, and he told everyone to do not sell your Bitcoin until 2020. You know, one of the most, or the most popular Bitcoin interview I have at CrushTheStreet.com. This is none other than Adam Meister, the Bitcoin Meister, the Disrupt Meister. If you want to follow him, you can follow him at TechVault on Twitter. And, you know, he does his YouTube show regularly, and he travels the world promoting Bitcoin, spreading the good news. And it's an honor to have him back on the show. Adam Meister, thanks for coming back on Crush the Street.
Ken, I love it. I love to be back here. I post a new show every day. So even though I'm doing your show, I'll do my show too later on.
Well, tell everyone where you're at. You're living the dream as you were last year. You know, you're flying around the world, evangelizing Bitcoin. And again, just tell us how good life is for Adam Meister.
Well, I'm in Santiago, Chile, where it's spring. I didn't want to be in the fall. I didn't want to be in the winter. I wanted to go down where it's spring, and it's beautiful here. I like to travel. I like to meet new people that are into Bitcoin. I speak where people want me to speak. Sometimes I don't speak for a while, but I just do my new video every day. Just, you don't need a home anymore in this world. And you know, you plan right, you save, you're a long-term thinker, and that all has to do with Bitcoin.
That's awesome. Well, I'd like to get your thoughts on Bitcoin right now. We're in a different environment. You know, Bitcoin's been in the $6,000 trading range here for quite some time. And, you know, I don't know if you would agree. I'm sure you would. Obviously, the enthusiasm has largely fled the market, unlike it was in December or November. Things have changed to a large degree. But I'd like to get your thoughts on this. And, you know, what do you want people to understand now in 2018?
Well, yeah, the irrational exuberance of the ICO altcoin people who said their coin is the next Bitcoin, their ICO is the next Bitcoin. That's left. That's deflated. That's gone away. That's good. I mean, there were people, so many people that were just in it. They would be in anything. If they were around during the dot-com era, they would have had a dot-com company, just like they had an ICO now. Those people have went away, but still there are a lot of people that think, well, that's the way it should be. Why? Something's wrong if these ICOs aren't around anymore. Something's wrong if the price of the altcoins aren't 90% higher. No, this is right. Let's calm down. Let's be rational here. People were just too far ahead of themselves. Like Bitcoin, back then they were like, Bitcoin's old. It's old fashioned. It's old fashioned. It's hardly been around it for 9 years or 8 years or whatever it is. Be patient, people. Bitcoin is the rock. It's what people are building everything on. Sure, people can come up with shiny, glamorous scams or pseudo scams or things that are they have good intentions for. But in the end of the day, the simplicity of Bitcoin and the fact that people are working on it, and wherever I travel, they don't ask me about NEO. They ask me about Bitcoin. I mean, some people think Bitcoin is the only cryptocurrency still. But again, we have people that diversify for the sake of diversification into all these other ones. They've become a little bit quieter now, but this is all cyclical. For people who think this was the dot-com bubble for crypto, no. Hardly anyone's even in crypto now compared to the world population. We're going to have another bubble one of these days, and it's going to be something you can't even imagine right now. So just have a strong hand. Value your wealth in Bitcoin. You still have the same amount of Bitcoin you had before.
So I'll follow up on that here. Are you worried about the floor falling out from under Bitcoin? And I'll preface it by saying, you know, we know Tone Vase has gone public with his short on Bitcoin, talking about the you know, how he believes it's going to go much lower, although he's, you know, overall bullish long term, but he just thinks there's a lot of headwinds that Bitcoin needs to face. And then, you know, Andy Hoffman has you know, branded this Hoffman line at $6,000 Bitcoin and doesn't believe it's going to go much lower. So anyways, what are your thoughts on this? Tone Vase, you know, the floor falling out from under Bitcoin, and, you know, what have you regarding these topics?
Well, yeah, I like both these guys. Obviously, I was the one who came up with the Hoffman line term. Andy Hoffman is the one who came up with that the market value, market cap of Bitcoin won't go below $100 billion. And right now, that price, it would be around $5,800 or something. He doesn't think it's going to go lower than that. I don't think it's going to go lower than that. But then again, because I think the institutions, once Bitcoin became, Andy's theory is once Bitcoin became a $100 billion valuation, that they considered these big institutions out there or people involved with institutions, traditional people said, you know, this is a serious asset now. So around $5,800, $6,000, I'll keep on buying that. If people want it to go, I'll keep on supporting it then, because for me, I know that eventually, and I'm not saying me, but then, you know, eventually it'll be so much more that $5,800, $6,000, it's a great deal. It's already past this $100 billion line. It hasn't gone back down. You know, none of the other cryptos, two others have passed the $100 billion line for a short period of time. Ripple, like once, and Ethereum a few times. But once you're consistently above that, you gain the respect of, in theory, of all these traditional people that know that this is a serious asset. This is just the bottom right now. It'll be a trillion-dollar asset one day, they think. So that's where the support comes, in theory, with Andy's Hoffman line. Now, Tone does he does technical analysis, but, I mean, again, you can't predict these when something's going to happen. Like, how about if the ETF is approved all of a sudden? How about if there's the Tether FUD disappears? How about Bank of America does something with Bitcoin? So many things. So I don't get involved with the technical analysis at all. I don't think people should trade. I think most people lose when they trade, but it's glamorous. Most people can't stand still. They're impulsive. They have to do something with their Bitcoin. The best thing is to do nothing. And Tone was doing nothing with his Bitcoin, but he did just make a trade. He shorted Bitcoin, apparently, and this is the big news. Hey, he can do what he wants to do. I think that was a mistake for him to do that, because he's got a great business. He doesn't trade Bitcoin at all, but he teaches people how to do it. If people want to pay in Bitcoin for that, then that's great. Why risk your precious Bitcoin on trading when you have all that coming in, and it could mess with your reputation? You might not have as many people throwing you Bitcoin anymore if your trade messes up. He was in a good situation. Again, the bottom, I'm with Tone. Long term, and Andy agrees with this too. Long term, this is nothing. You just try to get as much Bitcoin as possible. I don't care if it goes below 6,000. I really don't, because I know in the long run, we're one day closer to getting back to 20,000. Because it's returned to its all-time high every day, every time. Think long-term. Think about the 2020 halving. If you're in college, think about the 2028 halving, and you'll be a very wealthy 30-year-old. Most people can't plan ahead like that.
Well, I didn't realize that it was you that came up with the Hoffman line. So that's interesting. But it doesn't surprise me, because you also came up with crypto dividend. That was a big thing that was happening last year. And I just am curious, you've been following this space a lot more than I have. What has been going on with the crypto dividends, or has this slowed down because of price action and enthusiasm?
Completely slowed down. You can't create it. I mean, during these last 9 months, to create a new altcoin would be disastrous. I mean, in terms of what the altcoin creators want out of their altcoin, they want it to go to the moon. They want it to, but people aren't into that right now. It's all cyclical. There will be other forks of Bitcoin. There'll be other forks of Litecoin probably too. Right now, you know, when the irrational exuberance is gone, that type of thing is not looked upon in an exciting way, but people come up with new ways of twisting around the crypto dividend. I mean, I was talking to, I forgot who was it? It was Caitlin. Caitlin Long was on my show, and she was talking about how there's a scenario that some of these big institutions that are buying into Bitcoin, they might fork off their own Bitcoins one day. Well, that would be a crypto dividend also. If Bank of America wants to have their own Bitcoin, I see that as the future. I see some of these big institutions that get into it might get a little scared away if Bitcoin becomes a little bit more privacy oriented. If there's a privacy layer built on top of it, they might freak out and not understand what that is. And they might just say, hey, we're going to have our own version of Bitcoin too. And let them. Competition is great. If they want to make Bank of America Bitcoin and I'll get it for free because I control my own private key. And you know, so many people love Ripple. It's a bank coin. No doubt, people, there'll be 80%ers out there that'll love Wells Fargo Bitcoin and love Bank of America Bitcoin. So let them do what they're going to do. But yeah, right now, crypto dividends are, they're not the hot to trot things, but it'll come around again. People will fork. People are always looking for ways to co-opt the Bitcoin name too. They love, you know, that's the brand. That's the rock that people want to split up from. They're not splitting from the, a few of them got split from, but you know, Bitcoin's the one that people try to use that name of and split off from.
So Adam, it's interesting. And, you know, I think we both agree that we're going to see another major bull market, and this is cyclical. But the 2013 bull market in Bitcoin took place and it was epic, but it was its own bull market. And the 2017 was very unique in the way it happened as well. You know, one of the greatest bull markets in all of history that some people have suggested. So what do you expect, you know, or what do you speculate the next bull market in cryptocurrencies, specifically Bitcoin, to even look like?
Well, you say it's one of the greatest bull markets in history. And I would add two words to that, so far. Because if you compare 2013 and 2017, I was around during 2013. So much less people were involved in 2013 than in 2017. I mean, the beginning of 2017 is when, I mean, if you were around in 2016, you're considered a hardcore veteran now. So that's how many new people got in between 2016 and 2017. So just imagine, with these on-ramps from traditional financial markets, whether it be backed and Fidelity, once there are easier ways for traditional investors to get in, there'll be so much more money pouring into Bitcoin and crypto, and so many more people involved. Again, in the dot-com era, my grandmother bought a PSINet, which was a dot-com related stock. We're not there yet where grandmothers can get crypto. Nowhere close where even mothers can get crypto. The next time though, you could tell with Coinbase already, they're slowly, you know, they're adding altcoins and whatnot, but they're making it easier. They're making it easier for dollar people who have dollars to get crypto. There'll be more on-ramps. Again, there'll be more, some people feel totally uncomfortable. They tell me, they're like, if I lose a certain numbers, that means my Bitcoin's gone forever. They mean their private key. I'm like, yeah, they're not into that personal responsibility side of Bitcoin. So there's going to be a lot of these custodial services that are popping up between now and the next major irrational exuberant bull run. And all sorts of people are like, oh yeah, let this third party hold my Bitcoin. I really own it, but they don't really own it. If you don't control your private key, you don't really own it. But they will think they own it. And so that is going to really be the fuel to the fire the next time around. That just, there'll be more people involved. A larger percentage of the world population will be involved in crypto. And right now it's so minuscule. I mean, it's, some people say 1% of Americans are into crypto. I don't think it's that high.
So Adam, being that you travel so much, where do you see people having the highest percentage benefit, you know, globally, on a general perspective, who's benefiting to a greater degree because of the current financial system that they're facing? Because let's face it, here in the US, we have a relative stable dollar, you know, the economy works okay. You know, we can move money throughout our banking system. But, you know, if you go to other places around the world, they're not as fortunate. So having been that you've traveled so much, I mean, where are you seeing people most grateful for Bitcoin?
Okay, most grateful are the people in Venezuela. Now, I haven't been to Venezuela. I was just invited to speak in Venezuela, and I'm going to decline that because it's a little sketchy still down there, definitely. But yeah, they protected themselves from hyperinflation by getting a hold of Bitcoin, by mining Bitcoin. In Zimbabwe, the people who have Bitcoin can actually send their value out of the country. That's been a big thing. So, but in terms of where Bitcoin is the most popular is in the United States. I mean, it's helped America, because Americans have the most disposable income. So the Americans who haven't wasted away their disposable income, who have bought Bitcoin instead of buying Lamborghinis and you know, going out to restaurants every day of the week or buying a keg or just things that are disappear. The Americans have turned their very large amounts of disposable income into this new asset class. They have benefited greatly. They have gone from middle class to upper class in terms of what they're worth. So I mean, there's different ways of looking how, and that's the great thing. Bitcoin can benefit people who are already in the great Western world type of situations, and it can save the lives of people who are in third world, developing world type of situations.
Yeah, no, that's a very powerful thing. Adam, first of all, thanks so much for coming back on the show with me today. If you have any closing thoughts on what we've discussed or anything new that, you know, it's been pressing on your mind that you want to share, please share it now if you would. And again, thanks for coming back on Crush the Street. Always appreciate your time here.
Well, you talk about the terms that I've come up with, the Hoffman line, crypto dividend. I also came up with crypto noise. There is a lot of crypto noise out there on Twitter, on YouTube, on all sorts of social media. And it can scare people because there are people that are talking about diversification for the sake of diversification. So you feel bad that you only own Bitcoin. And then you hear all sorts of gurus who kind of border on the Bitcoin industry saying, oh, no, this is a time to get back into dollars. And the best thing you can do is just consider it noise. They're not experts. They're impulsive. They change their mind all the time. They were saying something completely different last year. Stick with your plan. Think long term. Hold on until at least after the 2020 halving, especially if you weren't around during the 2016 halving. Just let a four-year period play out so you can see for yourself. You learn from experience, and you'll see that this is all cyclical, that we have downs and we have ups. We have halvings and we have times that are far away from halvings. And we have all sorts of scammers who come and go. They pump up BitConnect and they disappear. They'll come back and they'll do another thing. So just have a strong hand. Ignore the crypto noise. Don't get scared. And a lot of people do get scared off and do things they really regret. And you can check me out at disruptmeister.com. I post a new video every single day. And as you said before, TechBalt, TechBalt on Twitter. Pound that freaking like button if you like this video.
Adam Meister, everybody. Adam, enjoy Santiago, Chile. I look forward to seeing some of more of your updates and hearing about how your experiences in South America.
All right, cool. Thank you.